Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12 voices in 12 hours. This is a special community discussion on school safety and gun violence in America on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Who is this woman we got to do the voiceover? Is that Susan Rose? No, it can't be Susan Rose. See, I'm getting full. It's emanating from the other side of the glass. Hey, welcome to 12 Voices in 12 Hours. It's actually been more like 16 voices, and now it's going to be 19 voices. Because in studio right now, Bowerly and Bellavia, we have Captain Welch, Captain Hawthorne, and Chief Petronic of the Erie County Sheriff's Department. And you guys happen to be not only Erie County Sheriffs, but also in the SWAT. What is it? You call it the SWAT team? Special weapons? What do you guys call yourselves? Chief Petronic, what is the name that you go by?
Yeah, it's under their Division of Special Services, and it's the Erie County Sheriff's Office SWAT team.
SWAT team. Okay, yep. So here are the three members of the SWAT team. Now, we've been talking all day gun violence, school violence. How is this is something, you know, as a society that we can kind of, you know, crack this nut and get to the bottom of what's causing all this? But you guys are subject matter experts, not only in securing soft targets, but also you're the ones that are going to show up if, God forbid, something like this ever hits our backyard. And I'm just curious as to why now are we talking to law enforcement? Why isn't law enforcement the one? I mean, honestly and truly, if there was a person to evaluate a school in Erie County, it should be the responsibility of the Erie County SWAT team to say, what should we do with a school like this? How do we safeguard it? How do we harden it? What do you say to that, Chief?
Well, to start, we've actually been very aggressive with schools in our patrol area over at least the last decade. Not only have we done vulnerability assessments at schools to help them harden their security, but we've also done full-scale exercises at several of the high schools in our county where we would have literally hundreds of people involved in the exercise. So it would start off as a normal school day, you know, pre-planned exercise. It would take months to actually put these exercises together for safety reasons, et cetera. And we would ultimately have volunteers that would pose as innocent victims. We would have them moulaged up with different types of injuries. So not only did we integrate our law enforcement to exercise their active shooter response training, but we would also integrate EMS, which is a critical part, because there's really two parts of these incidents. There's the initial response to stop the shooting.
Exactly.
And then we have the secondary response immediately there following to stop the dying. So we want to make sure we can care for these people, that they are viable, they can make it to, you know, the appropriate trauma centers, et cetera, where they could be cared for. And we have them as wounded individuals versus, you know, we don't want any more fatalities.
That's the voice of Chief Petronic of the Erie County SWAT team. I want to ask Captain Hawthorne something real quick. I mean, not to toot your own horn here, but Erie County happens to be a competition over the summer. You're legitimately the number one SWAT team in New York State. Is that not true for the county sheriff's department?
Yeah, that was a competition held downstate in Oriskany, in New York, which is a state preparedness training center.
Right.
And ourselves, among seven other teams, competed in a statewide tactical team competition. And we did, in fact, win first place in that.
Now, this isn't just like knocking targets down. We're not just talking about, you know, when we think of SWAT teams, we think of, you know, stormtroopers breaching into a complex, running around and, you know, haphazardly engaging, you know. We're talking the Army way of entering and clearing buildings. You guys are at a much more sophisticated level, because when you go into an area, you have civilians everywhere. Your job is to not only neutralize targets, but also save lives. How many hours of training would you say on a monthly basis the Erie County SWAT team has to go through? Like, what extended hour training does it involve to be a SWAT team member?
Well, it's for our team specifically, it's really extensive because we're more than just a tactical response team. We're also a rescue team as well. We have a contingent where it's a high-angle rescue and a low-angle rescue part of our team. But training-wise, on average, we typically put together about 40 hours a month.
Wow.
That's collectively the entire team. Now, there's also going to be additional training or specific type training that part of the team will go to. But collectively, as a whole unit, it's at least 40 hours a month.
That's the voice of Captain Hawthorne of Erie County SWAT. We move over to Captain Welch, and we just heard how much, the amount of training that you go through to get, to be subject matter experts in one field. But this Erie County SWAT team, I mean, Erie County Sheriff's Department, you're not bigger, like Amherst, for example, Cheektowaga. These are bigger police departments than the Sheriff's Department. So you SWAT guys, when I talk to Captain Welch, you're not just SWAT guys. You've got people that are, experts in explosives and bomb teams. You've got people over here on rescue teams. Some people are medics. How much of that cross-training goes on with all the SWAT team?
We do a lot of integration training. I myself am not a SWAT team member. I'm a bomb tech.
Okay.
By trade. So we work hand-in-hand on training. We have at different points of the year, we'll have like week-long training sessions in addition to our normal monthly training. So there's quite a bit that goes into it to integrate all the different operations together. That way
so
seamlessly.
If the SWAT team had to get into a brick wall, you're going to set up a ballistic breach and blow it up?
That's, obviously every situation would have to be evaluated for what it is. That's the best way in. But
would that be something that you would integrate with the folks that have that explosive training?
Yes, the bomb, we do the explosive breaching with the SWAT team. So when we practice that
we
do that so that the first time you're doing it isn't an incident. You have to practice. You can't just haphazardly do it. You have to calculate the explosives you're going to use and things like that. It's a lot of planning that goes on in some of those type breaches, a lot of practice. That way, when it comes up, you go ahead and do it.
We're talking to the Erie County SWAT team, 803-0930 if you want to join the conversation. Star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. It's Bowerly and Bellavia. And the Erie County SWAT team, Chief Petronic, I want to ask you, when you see these active shootings on television, right? I mean, you're you've got a family. You've got people that you care about. You're a human being, but at the same time, you're also professional. This is your livelihood. This is, you are running towards the fire when 99% of intelligent people are going the opposite way. You've dedicated your life to going to where the problems are. How do you process these things? Is it first emotional and then tactical? Or are you just constantly thinking how you would do something if this was happening? If you were in that situation, when you see these things on TV, how do you process it?
Well, one of the things, both captains were talking about, there's extensive training that we involve everyone to our newest patrol deputies that are just hired. And I think one of the things we want is just to have that capability where what you're doing is you're processing everything tactically. The whole situational awareness you're getting, it's trying to minimize the tunnel vision, and you're trying to have people equipped where they have the skill set to mitigate these dangers approaching somebody, where everyone else is going in the other direction. So there's extensive training. There's always follow-up training. We look at these incidents each time. Sadly, each time one of these incidents happens somewhere in the country, we evaluate that incident. Is there anything that we need to do to develop additional measures that could help protect our individuals as they're going to combat these shooting threats?
I appreciate that, Chief Petronic. I want to go to Captain Hawthorne real quick and just ask. We saw this at Parkland, Florida, the school shooting. We don't have any information. We're watching this on the news. And the first thing we see is that up-armored vehicle come in, and now the SWAT team piles out. Is your plan of action when you get the alert that something happened, possible, shooting in the area, or is that plan to go in, how to go in, what side of the building, where you're headed, just to get a foothold Is that decision made on the ground, or do you pretty much have a plan in your head? Hey, this is just like training. Let's just go as soon as we get out.
Yeah, we have a series of emergency action plans for a lot of the larger venues, a lot of the schools in the area. But ultimately, for a kinetic type situation like that, it's just going to have to be made on the ground. Those decisions are going to have to be made through the leadership within the internal leadership within the tactical team and the on-scene leadership, whether that be a uniform leadership element or a command element that's arriving and trying to coordinate the entire situation. I mean, as you know, as you've experienced, these situations are extremely hectic, and you invariably just want to try and respond as rapidly as you can, and like Chief Petronic said, stop the bloodshed.
Yeah, it's Captain Hawthorne. You know, that's one of the things when you look at, you know, Broward Sheriff's Department, Las Vegas had some issues with just communication, and then the media gets involved and everyone starts beating each other up. But, you know, we have no idea. We hope that, you know, our training gets us through situations, but until you have all the facts, until you look at an after actions review, to me, it's apples and oranges, you know. But I remember seeing you guys stage and do different things around Erie County. One of the things that the takeaway is SWAT teams are intimidating. Okay. And they're supposed to be intimidating, right? When you see a SWAT team, it's normally a series of bad things have happened to get us to this spot. But when you are talking, you know, everyone talks about this almost in it's almost Victorian the way we talk about school shootings. We've had so many of them. SWAT team will show up and they'll take care of it. They'll neutralize. They'll do whatever. There's a whole lot going on in the organization of you have wounded kids. You have, you know, an active person that's trying to hurt others. You're trying to stop things, but you're also trying to not get hurt yourselves. What is the when you start doing all this training for school shootings and for all these different static set plays where you're entering and clearing? What is how is the response as far as, you know, smooth? They say smooth is fast and fast. What is it? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast, right? Everyone wants speed when the SWAT team shows up. Please do this as soon as possible, right? What is the reason why everything has to be the order? We don't understand it because we don't do the training that you do, but what is the most of the chaos? What is the thing that you need most? Do you need vision? Do you need communication? Or do you just need a semblance of order as you're moving through a large building or a school?
Well, initially, when one of these things happen, it's the SWAT team's not going to be the first ones there. It's going to be your uniform patrols who are...
Cop is right there.
So whoever gets there on scene, up until they're relieved, they're handling the situation. So whoever, the first couple guys there should be there and in the building and dealing with it. And they're getting whatever information they can pushed out. And then when the SWAT team arrives, then they'll take over from there. But your initial response to something like an active shooter is going to be patrol, in our case, patrol deputies, just getting there and getting into the building and dealing with the threat.
But Chief Petronic, when you go into a situation like a school and you've got kids that are in a room, you're busting through that door to make sure that the threat isn't behind that door, right? But now you have a situation where you're kind of releasing hostages almost, releasing innocent people and securing, you know, you have to have the communication where everyone's on the same page as to what kids are leaving, what area. So that's all what, SWAT? You guys are dictating that inside the building.
Well, you have to remember, just as we have a lot of training and a lot of plans now, we're fortunate that the school districts have come a long way, too, in the last decade. There's been a lot of training for students. The schools have emergency plans, including, you know, lockdown plans, lockout plans, and they'll activate their appropriate plans. So, in essence, what we wouldn't initially be dealing with, you know, hopefully we want to control that chaos. You know, anytime you get to one of these scenes, you're going to have chaos. And to help mitigate that chaos, these school plans are going to be very helpful where, you know, we're hoping that these students are locked down, they're in place. So our originating officers aren't facing hundreds of students that are evacuating. They're going to be going after, you know, the gunshots. And so it's working hand in hand with the schools and businesses and making sure that they have the appropriate plans in place that would mesh with our response.
And let me ask you, Captain Hawthorne, how many people, businesses, have gone up to the Erie County Sheriff SWAT team and said, hey, You know, this is, stuff's happening all over. You know, I mean, I would have no problem asking an officer to help me with my car seat. Is this properly put in? Why wouldn't I ask a SWAT team member to come by my shop and tell me, is this church, are we a soft target? Should, you know, has that happened to you guys?
Yeah, that definitely happens with increasing frequency. And I suspect every time one of these active shooter type incidents happen, it's the frequency in which, you know, they're asking for our professional opinion is only going to increase.
And I think, you know, this is one of those things we talk about, you know, who should be having this debate? Well, I think subject matter experts should be having this debate. If we're talking about guns, we're going to go to experts on guns. If we're talking about, you know, you're the first responders, but you're also working with other school districts when they come up with their plans, you have to know those plans too. I really would like to hear more from, you know, CNN and Fox News and get more people up there that are, hey, you're going to the federal classes, you're going to the state classes, you're giving instruction to other people in the community. We should be listening more. We're joined by Captain Welch, Captain Hawthorne, and Chief Petronic of the Erie County SWAT team. And we're doing 12 voices in 12 hours, more like 30 voices in 10 hours, but whatever. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we're covering this whole school violence thing. It's a very serious topic, and we're very serious people. Bowerly and Bellavia, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. We're talking with the Erie County, members of the Erie County Sheriff's SWAT team, Chief Petronic, Captain Hawthorne, and Captain Welch, who's also with the, you're a bomb, what is your official, what is it? You're not EOD, what do they call you guys?
Bomb technician.
Bomb technician.
I think the technical name is hazardous device technician, but for the sheriff's office, we call it the bomb squad.
The bomb squad, there you go, right. And so we talked during the break, and one of the things I wanted to bring up with the chief real quick, Chief Petronic, is, you know, how much of a deterrent is the SWAT team just showing up? I mean, if you're in a standoff and you're talking to someone and there's trouble and all of a sudden, here comes the Erie County SWAT team. Something's going to give real soon here. You either realize that the clock is officially ticking, but you find that that's a deterrent just showing up. It can resolve situations.
Well, you know, and one of the things that we'd like to think about with our SWAT team is not necessarily an aggressive force. We're there to save lives. We don't want any of our officers hurt, and we don't want to hurt someone who's there. So typically, with the SWAT team, we feel that there's going to be like that force multiplier where people are going to look at how much potential force there is and decide to de-escalate the threats that they were making. You know, but we'll use our SWAT team in combinations with our crisis negotiators, and it does prove itself to be a tool to help de-escalate events versus the escalation. Maybe if you have two patrol officers there, the individual thinks like, maybe I can, you know, take a shot at this and see what happens. But when you see a full SWAT team from a police department, a lot of times you're going to have second thoughts, and it allows you to engage in conversation to try to de-escalate that threat.
And that's what we're trying to achieve every time is nonviolence. Captain Hawthorne, we're talking a little bit about how, you know, when you guys, when I think it was, you said Captain Welsh, it was the Paris attacks, whenever thing got really ramped up at sports venues, at the Bills games, at the Sabres games. And we had Erie County SWAT for everyone to see pretty much at these large venues. And the response when that first started to happen, Captain Hawthorne, it had to be, I mean, you go to a Bills game, you're used to, you know, maybe someone looks in your cooler. Now someone is tactical and standing in front of you with an AR. I mean, did most people appreciate it, or were there some that were a little bit taken aback?
Yeah, when we first started it about 3 years ago, people were certainly intimidated, and I can understand why. I mean, invariably, nobody wants to see that in their society. But unfortunately, the times have changed, and it was about a 50-50 split, I'd say, negative to positive. And as it's gone along, unfortunately, with the catastrophic events that have occurred throughout the world, I think people understand a little bit more what we're actually there for, and it's swinging in our favor. It's becoming more and more positive as the years go on.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to live in a world where it's so crazy to see, you know, a SWAT team. What is that? What are these strange creatures? What are they doing here? Because everything is perfect. But unfortunately, when you turn on the news, you know, I think there is a mindset. I want to, because you're in the bomb squad, there's a mindset, Captain Welsh, with the police becoming more militarized, right? As if, You know, we don't want our police to look like soldiers. We don't want tanks in our streets. But at the same time, we want to fight terrorism. And terrorists are using the same means to kill soldiers as they are civilians. So, I mean, I want my local SWAT team and bomb squad to have the best technology in the world. And because I live here, you know what I mean? I want you to be safe, but I also want to have that security as well. How do you balance that between people that are like, why do you need a bomb disposal team in Erie County? How many bombs are, you know, what's your response to that?
Unfortunately, the world in which we live dictates that we have these tools and this training available to us. The bomb squad, over the course of the last few years, has averaged about a call out one per week. It could be anything from
that's crazy.
And most of it's low key. It's, you know, fireworks, pickups, and destruction. But there's also like grandpa was in World War II where Korea brought a grenade home and he passes away. They're cleaning out the house and there's a grenade that they found. And, you know, we've got to take care of it. And it's just as explosive as it was in 1940 when it was manufactured. So, that's. We have to deal with those things, and then that doesn't even include, you know, the threats. And, you know, turn on the news any given day.
Right.
The world's not a safe place. So while people may not like the, you know, they call, you know, militarizing the police, it's, I don't think we're really militarizing. It's separate rules, but we have to have the equipment and technology to deal with those things safely, because if we can't deal with it, who's going to?
Well, exactly. And that's actually the worst scenario in the world is if a bunch of civilians get together and to come up with a plan. You know, let's slow down and let the professionals deal with it. Chief Petronic, you know, one of the things that Captain Welsh brings up is the idea of, you know, we're going to have backlash no matter what happens. There's going to be people that are going to be upset. There's going to be people that support law enforcement, people that just will never support law enforcement. But there's an accountability that you have, you know, as a sheriff's department, as a SWAT team, where you pretty much get to choose. These are volunteers that join SWAT, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, there's a posting, and then there's actual qualifications, numerous, you know, PT, firearms, et cetera, type.
So it's rare that these everyone knows what they're signing up for when they join Erie County SWAT.
Yes, yep.
And so it's not a matter of you know, because there were some issues in Florida where, hey, well, this guy doesn't. It's one thing if someone zigs when they're supposed to zag, but as a SWAT team, you know, you've got everyone there is professional. They know what they're doing. They want to be there. You're not just taking someone and I guess that's the main issue when we talk about like the difference between what a resource officer can do and what a member of the SWAT team is trained to do. Totally different. You know, you want someone to contain something until professionals can come in there and take care of it. That's a lot to ask of, once the shooter's in the school, the day's pretty much over. Our job is to get that shooter from ever getting in the school.
Yeah, and really, it's changed. It's almost 20 years now since Columbine happened in the spring of 1999. And prior to Columbine, the thought process was always for the first patrols to arrive to contain the scene, try to communicate with the shooters, and then just stand by, set up a perimeter, and call SWAT. And that actually failed in Columbine, that age-old tactic. So things have evolved a lot since Columbine, and we learned from each of these shootings. So now it is the first, you know, it's the SRO or it's the first patrol officer, the way we're training our department to actually get in there and to engage and either neutralize that shooter or get that shooter to barricade themselves in a room. If they're barricaded in a room by themselves, that's when we can hold the perimeter, because there's no more lives at risk, hold the perimeter and wait for SWAT to get there to make our next decision. But it's very urgent for our first responders to actually engage these shooters, because, you know, time is against us. And
so that's one of the reasons, Captain Hawthorne, we were talking about why, you know, you stage in areas. If there's a high-profile event that's occurring in the county, or you know that there's going to be 40,000, 20,000 people in an area, you are there just in case. You're there ready to move. Part of that. So how does that work as far as SWAT? Do you guys have your equipment and personnel pretty much scattered all over the county for that reason?
Yeah, we have essential equipment scattered or placed geographically throughout the county where it will enable us to rapidly respond to, you know, areas throughout the county, and whether it's at the North Towns or the South Towns. We have a couple, our SWAT headquarters is out at Chestnut Ridge, but we also have vehicles aren't, you know, up armored vehicles or Bearcats staged in the north towns just for that specific reason, like you're mentioning.
Did you guys get nailed with that tornado? Was that near your Chestnut Ridge? Remember Fairnado?
We didn't get anything by where we're at, so we were kind of lucky there.
Yeah, all right, you avoided one. There's definitely a horseshoe then, because that area just got, it was like you could almost see the tornado just cut right through the entire park. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, Wales was pretty bad, but like the ridge itself was fine. There was like some tree damage, but where we're at was fine.
So getting back to, we talk about Stormnado. Team coverage with the Erie County SWAT team. Chief Petronic, Captain Hawthorne, and Captain Welsh. You know, when we looked sort of at these events that are occurring, whether it was a terrorism event like we've, you know, seen in Europe, or, of course, the school shootings, has the job at SWAT changed since 9/11? Did you think that, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but in the last... how long have you been with SWAT, Chief?
With Special Services.
I'm sorry. Since 9/11. Okay, so when you think of the tempo, the amount of training, the amount of resources you had after 9/11, are we pretty much there funding-wise with if you needed something or you needed training, you have access to equipment, access to funding? Because of the school shootings, has that become more, you know, of a commodity?
Yeah, I think the job overall changed dramatically. It redefined law enforcement after 9/11. And the years immediately following 9/11, there was a big push from the federal government to help fund and bring capabilities for local law enforcement up to be able to address one of these critical situations like a terrorism event. So there were a number of years we had funding that we brought our equipment up to date, we brought our training up to date. And it had helped dramatically. Now our job is basically to try to maintain the funds to sustain that.
All right, let's go to the phones. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBN. Let's go to Don in Buffalo. Don, you're on with the Erie members of the Erie County SWAT team. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. Maybe Chief Petronic could answer this. I was wondering, when you do your... live shooter or your training there, do you use your shooter? Is he like a member of another law enforcement agency, or do you use like a volunteer civilian?
Good question, Chief Petronic. Where do people in the scenario that you use for active shooters, are they all law enforcement, or where do they come from?
Yet, typically what we'll do is when we simulate an active shooter, for a number of reasons, one includes safety because we're using some like starter pistols, et cetera. But it will be typically a law enforcement member is taking on that role as the active shooter.
I would assume that would be the safest for everyone involved.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Don, do you have any other questions?
No, I can't think of anything right now. But
all right, Don, I appreciate the call. Don is... you know, that's a decent question. This active shooter training has really evolved as well. I mean, you're trying to, and it's also interesting how many other people are involved in the training. It used to just be for the SWAT people, and now, you know, the bomb guys show up and the people doing first aid are all there. Even though you have the ability to do first aid during an active shooting, is that preferable? Do you want to do you guys set up casualty control areas, or how does that normally work?
Yeah, there was a big push. And again, you know, things evolved, but originally on law enforcement's training was really, it ended at taking and neutralizing that shooter. So, and what we determined quickly is that still a direct threat area, and we need to evolve into integrating with EMS. So, there's a whole rescue task force approach, integrating our law enforcement with EMS and providing force protection to local EMS to help get in and care. Again, stop the bleed. We want to be able to minimize the number of casualties. And we also now recently have started a medical response unit that can handle like a high risk event. We can send law enforcement officers in as EMTs until we can integrate with local EMS.
That's the voice of Chief Petronic, Erie County Sheriff's Department. We are going to take a quick break and take your calls, 803-0930. Hey, we're back live with the Erie County Sheriff's Department, their SWAT team. And one of the things, we got a bunch of callers jumping into that we'll try to get to. But one of the things I want to talk about is just this is all about evolution. Chief Petronic, the one thing I've heard it from, you know, Captain Hawthorne, I've heard it from Captain Welsh. Everything is, you know, there's always a different, you know, benchmark that we hit. 9/11, and then it's, you know, something like what happened at a church, and then it's a school, and then it's a terrorist attack. So with all of the different doctrine is changing as well. It's not just the equipment and what you have accessibility to, but also you're changing your own doctrine. And one of those things is actually treating people on the site during an, you know, during a catastrophic event. So these MRUs, what is that?
So, you know, one of the things that looking at these events we found was, again, integrating with EMS is still our primary goal. But in under a direct threat situation where there still potentially could be another shooter in the building, there could be shooting going on in the building in a separate area. We ended up training a number of our deputies as EMTs and equipping them as EMTs that we could inject them into this direct threat scene. And they could establish like casualty collection points and start some minimal treatment. But there's the numbers, and again, learning a lot from the military, you know, the numbers of saves have went up dramatically with casualty care being out on the battlefield. And so what we want to do is provide that casualty care on scene immediately to have as many viable.
Yeah, it's the difference between life or death. Put a pressure, someone who knows how to put a pressure dressing on, someone who could get an IV in someone, it literally, that those seconds count. Let's go to the phones. We got a full bag of phones just as we have. That's how it works. Hey, let's go to the phones and go to, let's go to Paul in Hamburg. Paul, you're on with the Erie County Sheriff's SWAT team. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you guys train like that, does that cop tell you what he's going to do, or does he get to go in there and set up the way he wants with booby traps to lead you guys down a hallway and be able to put, like, trip wires in, trip wires behind doors so when you open lockers, doors, go into other rooms because there's a lot of chemicals in high schools too. Don't be surprised someday some kid don't freak out in science class.
You know, Paul, it's a really good point. Appreciate that. Consider yourself warned if it should happen. But Paul in Hamburg brings up the point, you know, I think people are fascinated with the training that you do and sort of like what kind of creativity do you give to the people playing opposition force?
We do things like we have devices to make sure that people don't get tunnel vision and look what's going around. So we do incorporate some of those things he was asking about. But it's people who are running the exercise aren't participating as role players, as for lack of a better term. So they don't know what's coming, but those things are mixed in with the training.
Well, you guys are facilitating the training, so you want it to be the best training possible because that's going to save your own lives.
Absolutely.
Right. So you wouldn't, you know, Captain Hawthorne would want to know where the bad guy is every time. It might be great for the ego, but it doesn't really help when it comes down for real. Let's go to Joe. Let's go to John in Williamsville. John, you're on with the Erie County Sheriff's SWAT team. John, go ahead.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask Chief Petronic was if he had touched on the non-lethal forms of weapons and equipment that they have available to SWAT. And to thank him for his service, and thank you for your service, Mr. Bellavia.
That's very kind, John. Thank you very much. What do you say to that, Chief?
Yeah, again, our main objective is to save lives. And as we utilize our SWAT team as another tool to try to minimize any risk to our members or to the public, and less than lethal are definitely a choice that we use whenever we can. We do not want to go lethal unless it's absolutely necessary.
But some people don't really know. I mean, listen, yes, absolutely, right? I totally believe that. But this isn't Star Trek, where you have like a non-lethal bullet that you could shoot with precision. I mean, look, everyone wants to talk about tasers, but, you know, in Buffalo, people like to wear, you know, clothing and jackets, and that, you know, you don't have 100% success rate with a beanbag round, but the guy's still a threat. So lethal is quick. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to save lives, right?
Right. I mean, again, we're not going to put we're doing everything we can to help this individual come out of this situation without injury. But unfortunately, and you see it across the country, there are times where the individual is using lethal force against law enforcement, and law enforcement is going to have to counter that just to save their own lives.
You know, that's why he's the chief. You know what I mean? Because what he just said there is, I'll tell you what, buddy. You take your guns to town against your county sheriff's SWAT, you're gonna end up in a bag. Don't mess with us. No, it's the truth, though. You are there to save lives. You're there to do whatever. But I think people have an unrealistic idea of what non-lethal force is. And you can't just go from a trank dart to a Glock. It doesn't work that way. And if it does, we'll get the patent for it. Hey, listen, I want to thank you, Captain Welsh, Captain Hawthorne, and Chief Petronic. Excellent job. Thank you for your time. I know you're busy. And thank you for what you do, honestly.
Thank you. Our pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. That is, three voices down. We have five voices to go. We're talking about school violence, gun violence in schools from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. all day and even more and longer. Stay on hold, and we'll have another guest talking guns and school violence here on Bowerly and Bellavia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.